Calvary Church presents Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado, Calvary Chapel, and I've been here for 22 years, and such a blessing to serve. We moved out, the five of us, my wife and three kids, to be a part of what God wanted to do and planting a church, and we have been a part of the planting, and now through the years, going through the different seasons of ministry, and I have a heart to talk about my experience. I have a heart to talk about what the Lord has done, what He's doing, how I'm still growing, so that, you know, when we do this podcast, I have in my mind you sitting across the table from me, or what we do in our staff meetings. A lot of our staff and team meetings here are just talking through things and listening to one another, and offering our points of view, and you have an opportunity to do the same thing. You can offer your input by emailing me at ed@edtaylor.org, ed@edtaylor.org, or text me directly, 720-608-0012. And we're in the middle of, or toward the end of season three on this podcast, and this season we've taken a resource that we produced here at Calvary. It's a book that we call Sure and Steady, and the subtitle is Learning and Growing in Pastoral Ministry. And it's a culmination of the years of discipleship here. I'm a big whiteboard guy, so I like to stand and, you know, in a staff meeting and write down things on the whiteboard and write down the topics and such. And finally, we just said, we need to put this together in one. And strangely enough, it was COVID and the pandemic that brought a lot of old projects off the shelf and say, let's finish this. And we finished it together with one final meeting with our pastoral team where we talked about it, we edited it, we gave input, and this is the resource. So I encourage you to pick it up if you think it would be helpful. You can use it personal devotions, small group studies. You can use the principles and apply them in your own personal context as you're discipling others. And I know that these topics, some of them, they're like, man, I already know that. So then it's good to be reminded. But other things, maybe you've never talked about them. You've just had assumptions that everyone knows and thinks the same way you do or as you're discipling. And don't you know that's such a level of frustration that you can start talking about these topics and then discuss them and dialogue with them through the Word. That's kind of the model of this third season. And today, again, for this episode, we are in episode 309. We have Pastor Bob Claycamp with us. Pastor Bob, welcome again.
Great. Good to be here again.
I'm glad that you're here. We had a great conversation last time, just talking ministry together. And, you know, it's fun. I like doing that. I like learning. I like, because we were talking about your 40 years of 40-year celebration with Calvary of Phoenix, Calvary Chapel.
North Phoenix.
Yeah. And then, of course, you were there for 29
years.
Launched off to plant a church in Exeter, England. You were there for
almost seven.
7 years. And then you've been back with us here in Aurora for 2 years.
Yep.
And we're so grateful you're here, even though you're gone a lot.
Yeah.
So why are you gone a lot? Talk about that. What's God having you do right now?
Well, right now, my wife and I are involved with coming alongside other pastors and wives and encouraging them, assisting them in whatever way may be needed, whether it's to help set up a transition plan for the future or to do maybe an assessment of the church from top to bottom, or just to fill in and give them a break because there's no one right now that's really ready to take the services. And sometimes it's just to work out, you know, how do I deal with this? Just practical, everyday things. And so it's the calling is just to use our ministerial experience to just encourage and be a safe place for them to unload, download, or whatever, and just to pray with them and assist them.
You're a pastor to pastors.
Yeah.
And it's a really great ministry. And he can serve your church. If you want to get in contact with him, just call us here at the church, 303-628-7200. Ask for Pastor Bob. Or you can email him at
bobc@calvaryco.church.
Bob C, the letter C, at calvaryco.church. and connect with him. He, you know, according to his schedule and how it all works out, he can come out and encourage you. He could fill the pulpit for you. If you're a pastor listening in, he can do discipleship. He can teach at a leaders gathering. He can do a, you just got back from Arizona. You guys, did you guys do a marriage thing in Arizona?
My wife did a women's retreat.
That's right.
Yeah, about 2 weeks before that.
So in their latter years, one of the prayers that Pastor Bob was sharing with me and one of the words that God gave him is that his latter years would be more fruitful than his earlier years. Is that coming to pass?
Looks like it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the little addendum was don't figure it out.
Mm. Just walk by faith.
Yeah.
So we're going to go right into the format that we've been using in season three. And Pastor Bob and I, we're going to be talking through these topics. The first topic is confidentiality and having the confidence of others. And here's the subtitle. Confidentiality is an essential component of a pastor or a servant's trustworthiness in ministry. And so a pastor or a spiritual leader understands that keeping things in confidence is essential. When you breach confidentiality, you lose that important place of trust and authority in someone's life. You must be, you want to be a better servant and leader. Listen, you must be trustworthy with the information that you see, hear, and with what people share with you. Confidentiality speaks of the confidence that someone has put in you to trust you with their life. And when we respond by holding things in confidence, it protects the rights and the dignity of others. The opposite, gossip, destroys people, including you. And we talk about, Bob, confidentiality or trust being the currency of ministry.
Yes.
Where, you know, if somebody comes right now, if somebody calls, somebody comes to the church right now, they have a bucket, I guess, if you will, of trust. They already have some level of trust that otherwise they wouldn't be looking for us to help them. So they come to the property, they have expectations, they have trust. What are some ways that you have found that you can build trust in a person that comes to you for help?
I think that, excuse me, trust is, it's built slowly. Trust is built line by line, and trust is built by listening more than you talk, and by asking questions to let them know that you actually heard what they were saying. I think that goes a long ways, because if you're just the Bible answer man, then people go away and have a sense that you never really heard them at all, didn't hear their heart, and answering back what, you know, and saying, here's what I heard you say, and tell me if I'm on the right track, then I think that's big in building trust. I think when trust breaks down, sometimes you can't even recoup after that.
And this is something that we have to really pay attention to, because it's an excusable sin in our lives. We think that, well, if I talk to Bob about something that I really shouldn't be talking to him about, but he is a pastor, and we start processing this, and I'm like, well, Bob, if I do share something with you, it might be better to be general, not give any names, not give any situation that is going to be identifiable. Or, you know, I talk with you, and then you go back and circle around and say, well, maybe I can help so-and-so, but I really never asked for you to help him. And you go over around because you love him, and you go, how did you know? Well, you know, Ed and I were talking, and now we've got this mess of, no, the relationship is with me and that brother, or me and that sister, my wife and I and that sister, perhaps, it's ministering to them. And I need to understand that my obligation is to the person that I'm serving over and above any type of counsel I might need. Like, breaking confidence is super common in the church, and it is extremely painful. And if you've ever lost someone's trust, you know that it's extremely hard to get it back if you ever do.
That's right. And really, you're spreading the burden of forgiveness when a person comes to you and tells you that this person here is living in sin over here, and then you tell someone else that, you know, this is what's happening, and then they tell somebody else, and all of a sudden it goes around to 5, 10, 20 different people, and then the person who was initially living in sin comes to you and repents. all of a sudden you've spread the burden of forgiveness right. all the way around, and you've just set a wildfire.
And it should be reflective, and this is important for you listening in, like it should be reflective that that demonstrates a lack in your life that God's wanting to deal with. I mean, I'm certain we've all made that mistake, so this isn't something that we're going to live a perfect life in. We've all made this mistake. I have broke confidence before. I have gossiped, and it's painful. It's painful for the people I've sinned against, and it's painful for me as I deal with the consequences of my sin. And I think that the emphasis in discipleship here is that if you want to serve well, you've got to be trustworthy. And being trustworthy also means that you're worthy of trust, that your behavior is such that someone can trust you and it ends with you. I think that one of the predominant sins in the body of Christ today, but also among us as spiritual leaders, is gossip.
Yeah, and it's covered by the word, hey, I've got a serious prayer request. And it's more of imparting a juicy nugget rather than having a heart to want to see change.
And when it comes to confidentiality, of course, there are a few things that we don't keep in confidence. We don't have this false vow of silence like those in the man-made Roman Catholicism, you know, how a priest has to have this vow of silence or whatever it is. Do you know what the vow is? Where a priest will not tell anybody. Like, we don't have that. And I don't know that that's biblical, because if there's any harm to a child or any suspicion of abuse or any confession of a crime, or like, we're not going to keep that to ourselves. We, here in Colorado, like many states, we're mandatory reporters. But even if we weren't mandatory reporters, I believe God is a mandatory reporter. And although the Bible does instruct that love covers sin, the instruction is not covering it to the point where we're making an excuse and approving of sin.
Right.
It's working out through things, and love is like the lubricant of our friction, not covering those things. And of course, another thing that we say here with confidentiality is that you never hide anything from your spouse. Now, yeah. Of course, you've got to be careful what you share with your spouse, but there's no hiding, ever any instruction of hiding things from your spouse. And you know, so you don't come home and go, well, I can't tell you, honey, because it's confidential. And then you just give the enemy all this room to divide you in your marriage because you're one.
Yeah.
Confidentiality is so important. Like Luke chapter 12, it says in verse 2, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. So whatever you've spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you've spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And you know, Jesus is giving that instruction of that the truth will come out, and if you walk in the truth, things that are covered, they'll be revealed. Things that are hidden, they'll be known. But we're not to break someone's confidentiality and their trust. Or Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. And then I already mentioned that in Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. And so as you're serving, confidentiality is of utmost importance. There's just no way around it. This is the currency. And I know it's a hard word to use to describe, but like if you look at it as currency that you're depositing trust, because unfortunately, there may be a time where you have to make a withdrawal, or you make a withdrawal by a mistake, and only the bridge of the depth of trust is going to help you get through that mistake. It's going to help smooth the waters. It's going to keep relationships, because relationships, as you were mentioning in the last podcast, in our last episode, you know, the relationships that we have, the pastoral ministry is of utmost importance, and it is relational. And there aren't different rules for us because we're pastors than we are for anywhere else. We're sheep first.
Yeah, that's right. Sheep among sheep.
Sheep among sheep. Let's go to the next one. The next one we want to share is that ministry is a 24/7 commitment. Ministry is a 24/7 commitment. A pastor, a spiritual leader, is a pastor or spiritual leader 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yes.
This is another one that's misunderstood. We talked on a previous episode about counting the cost and the cost that's necessary to make a commitment to serve. And so when the 24/7 commitment comes, it's often a challenge, because this commitment means that a pastor or spiritual leader is ready to serve whenever ministry needs are present. And this is the key that we really want. It's ministry is not a 9-to-5 job. Right. It is not like any, I mean, actually, it's not a job at all. It's God's call upon your life. And you can't schedule when pain enters into a family's life. You can't clock out and no longer care. You can't relegate people's issues. I mean, just a few years ago, we all were awakened in the middle of the night because of the theater shooting that was right up the street. We aren't going to answer the phone and go, I'm sorry, my day doesn't begin till 8 o'clock. And I know it's a crisis. It's the biggest crisis our city has seen since Columbine. But I'll be there soon enough. Nope. We put a hat on, put some clothes on, and get to where the need is. And some seasons of pastoral ministry, some seasons of ministry are more challenging than others, more demanding. But there are also times when there's restful times. But we are always a pastor everywhere, anywhere. And then we clarify that. If you're a clock watcher, then pastoral ministry, commitment with spiritual leadership is just not for you. If you're a clock watcher, you know, if it's all about the bare minimum, and it's unfortunate, but I have served with men that they just tried to put in the bare minimum.
Yeah, and it's self-focused more than others-oriented, and it's like, well, you know, my time is my time, and I'll help people. And you think, and I've worked real hard, and I deserve a break here. And there's other people that can take care of it. And it still ends up being more self-focused. A pastor is like a doctor on call at all times, and the family needs to understand it. It's not a simple, okay, I'll spend 2 hours with you, and then 2 hours with you, and 2 hours with you. Sometimes it's all in for 3 days, and then you have to really communicate with your family that, you know, there's going to be seasons, and, you know, our balance has to do with seasons, not hours. And so you have to learn to be flexible. This is what ministry is all about.
For those that never worked a 24/7 job, it's hard to adjust to. Fortunately, God put me into a business early on, the ambulance business, that was 24/7. My hours were always all over the place. I didn't have any control over it. If the person that was supposed to come in and relieve me didn't come in, I worked another shift. I had to make a phone call. I worked all the holidays because that's where the overtime was. So we learned as a family, we could celebrate the holiday later. It doesn't have to be traditional. And we can do something extra and to make up for the fact that dad's not here for a few hours. And I find ministry to be very similar, where it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's not, even when we leave the property, we don't stop being a servant. We're still a servant at Safeway. We're the body of Christ. But when you step in to take a position of leadership, or even wanting to grow in being faithful in serving Jesus, you have to deal with this mentality that your time is not your time. You have been bought with a price, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's worthy of all that we give to him. However, 24/7 doesn't mean that you're away 24 hours a day and 7 days a week.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you need to be. I mean, we've had, you know, I've been here 22 years, and we've had, I don't know, maybe I can count 4 or 5 times where there's been super, super heavy stuff that required us all to be somewhere midnight or overnight or stay late. Right. But it is demanding. And I think that's an important word. If you think of demanding, what's another word that you could think of, Bob, that would reflect 24/7 that could help somebody grasp that?
Well, I think Paul said to be instant in season and out of season, where you're just ready. And I also think of what Jesus said, where the servant comes in from the field and prepares for his master, and they're to say, you know, we're unprofitable servants. We've done which was the least. And just keeping the mindset that, you know, we were on our way to hell.
Right.
And he chased us down.
Right.
And he brought us into the family, and we are forever indebted to him. Mm.
It's so good. We also included, if you're the type of person that likes to learn the system and offer to God and your church the least amount of effort or the bare minimum, then ministry's not for you. Or I would even say, you could even say ministry's not for you yet. Like the Lord's going to have to work out of you this life. You know, I think the thing that I've learned the most, and I'm still learning, is ministry and servanthood is self-sacrifice.
Yes.
It's not just Jesus saying, if you want to follow me, die to yourself. Okay, Lord, I'll die to myself. I'll give up my drugs. I'll give up a few things to follow you. But then you begin to live with him, and you begin to serve him, and you begin to serve in his church, and you find out, wow, there is still so much of me that needs to die daily. And if I learn the system, and really learning the system is a fancy way of just saying, you know, like, because something changes. There is something that I've seen change where a man is serving the Lord faithfully, volunteering, working full time, you know, in the world, even overtime, coming and serving faithfully in the church. And then we recognize that and say, you know what, brother, I think the Lord has entrusted us resources. How about you take those 40 hours that you're giving at your job and use them here? We will pay you. The Lord has given us abundant blessings. We will pay you those 40 hours. And then before you know it, they're doing less than 40 hours. They're not even doing the extra hour. And something happens when money's exchanged if you don't guard your heart.
Well, yeah, and you look for the easy way. I mean, that's just your flesh.
Yeah, it is.
Your flesh doesn't like to be crucified.
And I think that really is the emphasis of what today's episode's all about. God is calling you to die to yourself. And that's going to make you and me a more effective servant, a more effective leader, because ministry is labor, a labor of love. Even though it's tremendously rewarding, it's also tremendously demanding. And you think of Jesus. Jesus had a time to sleep, you remember in Mark chapter 4? But then he was woken up so that he could deal with the storm. I thought that was so good. He was sleeping, and then there was an urgent need, at least on the minds of the disciples, and he was woken up. And I think that you find even Jesus would often try to get alone, have some time, and he would be interrupted. These are what has been taught to us, divine interruptions, God using even things that we may not even consider divine interruptions. They can be blessed by God as we serve as unto the Lord. So,
amen.
This brings us to the end of today's episode. I'm so glad that you have joined us. Be sure to leave a positive review. If it's negative, email me personally. I'll take care of that. If there's any feedback, you have any questions, even topics that you would want us to answer, you want me to answer, and any future guests, please do. Thank you again, Bob, for being here with the last couple episodes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great.
If you want Bob to come out, you want him to serve, maybe you need the pulpit filled, just call the church here, 303-628-7200, or email him directly, Bob C, the letter C, his name is Bob Claycamp, at calvaryco.church. He's serving with Poimen Ministries, which again is another great podcast to subscribe to. POIMEN. Pastor Bill Holdridge covers a lot of great topics with a lot of great different pastors. For us here, email me directly if you have any feedback, ed@edtaylor.org, or text me 720-608-0012. You can text me directly on that. But until then, so glad you joined us. So glad that this podcast is a small part of what the huge work that God's doing in your life. Stay strong. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Until next time, God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.